When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to a special edition of WWL Sports Talk. Mike DiTullio, along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We're live at Rouse's Markets, 2851 Bell Chase Highway here in Gretna. Shop and save at Rouse's, the official supermarket of the Saints. The official supermarket of the Saints. Hey, they're cutting deals here. USDA prime beef whole boneless brisket, $3.97 per pound. Save $3.02 a pound. So come on by and visit us. You can talk a little football. Also, make some groceries here as the Christmas Day and Christmas Eve is right around the corner. We had talked about it before we went to break. Browns finally got on the scoreboard, but Cincinnati 17-6 over Cleveland. The Falcons with a 31-7 lead over the Giants. The Panthers, who had jumped out to a big lead, now they've gotten it cut. It's 23-20 over the Arizona Cardinals. Detroit Lions steamrolling the Chicago Bears right now, 34-17. Talk about a steamroll. The Indianapolis Colts, 38-7 over the Tennessee Titans, who will have one of the early picks. I mean, real early picks. And as Bob said, they got some real sorry teams in the NFL. Right now, the Titans are one of them, getting beat by the Colts now in the third quarter, 38-7. It is a tie game with 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Jets and Rams, 9-9 between the LA Rams, New York Jets, and the Philadelphia Eagles have a 24-14 lead over the Washington Commanders. They've jumped out to leads, and the Commanders have fought back again. Jalen Hurts went out in this game early with, it looked to be a concussion issue. So Kenny Pickett has stepped in, and he's done a pretty solid job so far. 24-14, the Eagles lead over the Washington Commanders. And Bob, over the last couple of days, we've seen the college football world. I thought Tennessee would play Ohio State a better game, but the rest of them, to me, kind of went like you thought it would be, big wins. I just thought
that was terrible. To tell you the truth,
could get in a ring with Ohio State, but man, you caught them and you got caught in the buzzsaw. You couldn't get your hand out fast enough.
No, I'm almost saying maybe we should have only 8 playoff teams. I don't know.
They're going to expand to 16.
Have the haves and have nots. I don't know. The NFL games is more entertaining to me than the college games.
I agree.
Those games were boring. I mean, you know, you watch if you like, I like Tennessee or I like Ohio State, you're going to see what's going to happen. The Ohio State quarterback played good.
Man, Will Howard is excellent.
I got to tell you this right now. If Will Howard plays like that,
they're going to beat Oregon.
They're going to win the national championship. I think if Will Howard plays like he played against, they'll win. He was throwing some dimes.
was short-winded throws, and I've also seen him. A week, do that, and the next week,
That's what I said. I was not a Will Howard fan, but I said if he plays like that, Ohio State has a great chance to win the national championship.
Crazy thing.
Because to me, the best quarterback who's been the most consistent is the guy at Oregon.
Yes, I agree.
Gabriel?
Dylan Gabriel.
Yeah, no. He, to me, that can make all the difference in the world. Now, you look at Texas and everything. But the bottom line is, it was truly the haves and the have-nots in the playoffs. It was the favorite team to win. They won, like, convincingly. You know, you might say, and like, you look at the final score, Notre Dame, Indiana. That game wasn't that close. Look at the final score. Oh, it wasn't that bad. No, it was not that close. Look, all the games were not close. It was – so I'm saying – no, you know, how many eyes are watching? That'll be interesting to see when those stats come out. Because they're competing head-to-head. NFL games versus college games. To me, yeah. The
NFL beat them. That's an easy call.
I would definitely think that occurred. But, no, now I would be disappointed if, like in the Sugar Bowl, Notre Dame-Georgia, I think it's a great matchup. Even though Georgia's quarterback, now he's hurt. You know, like he's going to play.
But the other kid can play too, and he gives you a running dimension Carson Beck couldn't.
Right. And what he did that second half coming in, and he's still winning.
That's a lot of pressure on him. And you cold, you come in the second half, and he made every play he had to.
Well, you
to
look
be
at
honest.
The Fiesta Bowl. Penn State, come on. You got to beat Boise State. I mean, that should not be. Now, Oregon, Ohio State, that's
that
like
would be
old
a very
school,
good
old
game.
School Rose Bowl game that I'm interested in. And then you're going to have, obviously, in the Peach Bowl. In Atlanta, so I'm having a brain fart. Who's in that game now? Who's in the Peach Bowl in Atlanta? I'm trying to think who's still in the postseason.
Texas, Arizona State.
Yeah, come on. And Arizona State shouldn't. There's no way they should play with Texas.
Texas,
look at that.
Boy, did they play small ball yesterday and run the ball?
Yep.
Goodness gracious, man. They played small ball with them. Clemson, and they beat him up front, running the football. But that was the best I saw Clemson's quarterback play in a losing effort. Man, that dude, he's all over the board throwing the ball yesterday. I thought he threw the football really, really well.
No, Mike.
And their secondary, those four guys are all going to end up playing in the NFL one day.
Yeah, no, I had thought when you look at it that he was outstanding, that being the Clemson quarterback and and, you know, he's from Austin, Texas.
Yes, he is.
That I thought, boy, you know, to have that kind of game, and he was fighting. Then, again, he better than that. Mike and Klubnik, I think that's how you pronounce him. He passed for 336 yards. You know, he had three touchdowns. You know, Texas defense had only given up just four passing touchdowns all season. The Longhorn defense only given up four touchdown passes, but he had three. So when I look at that, but James Blue ran for 146 yards. He had two touchdowns and that last 77-yard burst. So when I look at that, when I look at Texas against Arizona State, no. It's all aligned for Texas to advance. Now you look at Penn State and Boise State, same thing for Penn State. You get two pick sixes, you never lose. How that started. So it's aligned for them to overtake Boise State. That'll be interesting. Now, the one thing I knew where Indiana was in trouble, and that ended up 27-17. Like I said, that was not even as close as the final score. But Jeremiah Love. Boy, think about, Mike, when you have a chance to make this kind of play in a meaningful game and you're taking it to house. I'm going to tell you what that reminds me of. Okay. Saints fans might get mad when I say this, but anyway. Jeremiah Love, he tied the school record with a 98-yard touchdown run on the third play of the game. You know, who has the longest touchdown pass in Falcons history? Me against the Saints when I hit Michael Haynes, 98 yards. I'm just telling you, you have an explosive play, 98 yards.
Okay, how far are you through it?
I had like 55. And then
Took it the rest of the way.
And I fooled the Gene Atkins. I could fool Gene Atkins in practice. So I knew it'd mean Gene. He was so overly aggressive. All I had to do was stare at the end cut. And Mike, and he just jumped on the dig route. Then he cut 20 yards, and I just threw it over the top where he's supposed to be. You know, he played cover too deep. He used to be over the top, and he couldn't recover.
I know one thing. He ain't catching Michael Haynes in no foot race.
No, so when you have that type of explosive play, you think about it, it's almost the length of the whole damn field. And you scoring, there ain't no feel like that. Now, as a running back, it's probably even more because you're like, that's when you want your track speed to come in. And you're just hauling ass, please nobody catch me. You know, he's just running. Well, when you look at it, that's what Jeremy Love did. And he tied that school record, 98-yard touchdown on the third play of the game. Boy, you want to get the home folks involved and not disgruntled? and you're playing at a playoff game at Notre Dame, touchdown, Jesus, and all that. The third play of the game, man, no, it's our game. And you score a touchdown, you think for sure we're going to win. But just goes to show you how, when you look at Notre Dame, how I think it's good for college football. People might argue what's good for pro football, the Cowgirls win. I say, no, I hope they never win because they ain't America's team. I think the Patriots were more the 21st century America's team. Now, I don't know right now, but you look at our team, I think it's good.
Kansas City's not.
Yeah. The Chiefs, but they've always been, Notre Dame has always been like, we Notre Dame. We got our own TV contract with NBC. We ain't got to join no conference, no Big Ten. Now, basketball's different, you know, when they join the ACC. But, you know, SEC and all that, so they've been relatively, you look at them as always being independent. But you know how Notre Dame, they haven't really been relevant. You got to go back to, like, Lou Holtz and all, when you think about
they're
it.
They're relevant now.
Do you know, now, playing Georgia in the Sugar Bowl, a chance to reach the semifinals, you know, if they could go, you know, the last time they were national champs, 1988.
Man,
I'm still playing. I was with the Saints then. We went 10-6 there. 1988. That's the last time they won a national championship. But when you think about this, how Notre Dame has been relevant. You know, even pre-World War II, you look at all the history of Fighting Irish. I remember Mike used to have the Notre Dame playback games on Sunday morning.
Man, I was a kid and grew up watching that.
They always showed it in Louisiana. We got so many Catholics. Yeah. For sure they're going to show that. You'd be going to church or after church, but you could. Now you they beat a Notre Dame replay. What was the Vince Gully?
And Paul Horning.
Lindsey Nelson. Good job, DePaul.
Paul Horning.
Lindsey Nelson. I can't remember that. It always. But you know, when you look at it, they kind of laid the foundation. The Irish program has had the longest title drought. You think about it, since 1988. You know when they first won that national championship? Because we always remember this as LSU fans. Oh, Billy Cannon, 1958. Well, the Irish won one in 1924. They won a championship before we had the damn Depression and everything. Think about that. In between World War One, right after that, and you got Depression and World War II.
Yeah, Rockney won a lot of games back
Newt
then.
Rockney. We went for the Gipper. Remember that whole thing? Narnia, a lot of football history there. Always said the number one Catholic university, Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Number two, Boston College Eagles. You know, that's why when they play Boston College, that's the battle of the Catholics. Who's going to come out on top between Boston College and Notre Dame? But 1924, first time they ever won a championship.
Man, think about Texas yesterday. When's the last time a team rushed for 292 yards against Clemson?
Oh, they gashed.
292 yards yesterday.
Mike, Jayden Blue went for 146 yards.
But the other guy, Wisner.
Yeah, Wisner, he had 110.
He closed the game out for him. Close it out.
What's his name? Quinn Ewers, he should do good. He threw for 202 yards, and I think eventually you might see Arch. I don't know what's going to happen. Arch Manning might have a chance because they got the supporting cast now. The quarterback can't be the weak link. Can they get it done? Because this is a great opportunity for Texas to win a championship. Wouldn't you say, as we go on a break, I hear the music, I'm talking too long, but wouldn't you say that was one of the most satisfying, gratifying? You know, we said the game sucked yesterday. Y'all remember Vince Young and Texas and Reggie Bush at all USC?
That was as good as you could find.
That game was freaking awesome. Now that was I don't like Texas or USC, but to watch that game, that was one of the most entertaining college football games ever.
Okay, think about it. The two quarterbacks of that day, Matt Leinart for USC, Vince Young with Texas. Neither one of them did anything in the NFL.
No.
And Matt Leinart won a national championship at USC,
and
Vince was great at Texas, and yet really couldn't with the Titans.
It's different. The NFL's different. I'm telling you. You know why? A lot of times, just because you have success at high school doesn't mean you're going to be a great college player. Okay, who's the guy? Now, I think he's going to do good. The guy from the left LSU going to Michigan. The quarterback.
Underwood.
Okay. You're going to give him $12 million. But think about it. You know for sure? I don't know. He might not. So you might be a stud in high school. I don't know. I hope you're a stud in college. Or you might be a stud in college. Look, Tim Tebow. One of the greatest college quarterbacks ever. I don't know. Did he work out in the NFL?
No.
You look at Danny Wolfe, Tim Tebow. You look at Vince Young. You look at Matt Leinart. Unbelievable college players.
What did they do in the NFL?
Nothing.
What Stetson Bennett did at Georgia? He's done nothing in the NFL.
No, nothing. No.
That's a big jump.
That's a different animal.
Because we get them every once in a while. Somebody will go, oh, football's football. Don't matter if it's high school.
My thing is,
the last time you played maybe in junior high, man, football ain't football. You jump from high school to college, NFL, that's a big jump.
He was entertaining, but we weren't talking about him. He's going to be the next best thing. Joe Montana, Tom Brady, Pat Mahomes. Did Pat Mahomes win a national championship at Texas Tech?
No, LSU
kicked whipped him. Now he's running all around and doing all that. But that's why, it's different stages and phases. I mean, high school, college, and NFL.
And you know how we've talked about, before we go to break, we've talked about this situation with Sean Payton, Drew Brees. Same thing as Belichick and Brady. What did Andy Reid, how many championships did he win in Philly? He got you?
No.
To the NFC Championship game four times. He got to the Super Bowl once, but he never won, and he got fired. But Andy Reid, Pat Mahomes, they in the same sort of boat we've talked about with Brees and Peyton
and then Belichick and Brady.
Exact same situation.
Without a doubt, it does make a difference that the stars are aligned, how you compliment one another, playing a team game. I always say it's not like golf or tennis where you're by yourself. I mean, you might have a coach and all that, or your family supporting cast. A lot of times you can't, point at this guy, that's why we didn't win. No, Tiger Woods, come back, whatever. Oh, no, it's Tiger Woods. What are you going to do? Golf or tennis, it's an individual sport. Well, football, no, you got to have that supporting cast. And sometimes when you have a supporting cast, and then it's still not good enough. But that's why Pat Mahomes. Okay, I got to say this before we go to break. Pat Mahomes. High ankle sprain, there ain't no way. Now, he might have had an ankle sprain. There's no way he's playing like he played yesterday with a high ankle sprain. I'm talking about a traditional high ankle sprain.
No way. It's like
a broken ankle. You know who hasn't played for us? That being the Saints, because he has a high ankle sprain. They're putting him on IR, but means.
Yep.
He probably got a real high ankle sprain. I don't know if they're trying to be dramatic. Oh, Pat Mahomes, he's playing through a high ankle sprain. No, he sprained his ankle. You can play to a sprained ankle. High ankle sprains like a broke ankle. And Mahomes didn't have that.
We'll be back live from Rouse's Market. Shop and save at Rouse's this Christmas time. We'll be back with more sports talk right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4. Charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to a special edition of WWL Sports Talk, live from Rouse's Markets. We're here at 2851 Bell Chase Highway here in Gretna. Shop and save at Rouse's, the official supermarket of the Saints. Hey, you can get USDA prime beef whole boneless brisket, $3.97 a pound. Save $3.02 a pound. Bob, not only has teams in the playoff system making a lot of news, but also in the transfer portal. And we have seen LSU with a very aggressive sort of game plan to go after him. And today they officially signed, because it was announced by the university, who's considered one of the top two players in the transfer portal. It's Florida State defensive end Patrick Payton. In the last 3 years at Florida State, he's racked up 32 tackles for losses, 16 sacks, 12 pass breakups. He's caused three fumbles, 109 overall tackles. Patrick Payton was basically being run by everybody out there that was looking for edge help, which that means every school in America.
Well, he looked like a football
big,
player.
That's a big get.
He's 6'5", yep. 250 pounds. Now, the second player from Florida State to transfer to LSU, the wide receiver, Destin Hill, now Louisiana native, is coming to LSU. Now, Mike, 24 Sports, you know, when they rate all the transfer and all, right now he's the second highest player and top defensive player that entered the portal, and now they're going to LSU. So I don't know. That has to be a good sign. Like I said,
yeah, because you losing Savion Jones, you losing Braden Swinson, so you need edge rushers.
Well, Mike, 6'5", 250. Now, you know how you see, like if you see Blake Groupie on the street, let's say he's on Poitras, and you walk in by him, you might say, like, you know, walk right by Blake Groupie. You'd have no idea that that's a football player. I mean, oh, Bobby, he's a kicker. I understand that.
But you know, look, is different.
But I guarantee you walk by this cat and 6'5", 250, you say, oh, man, he was he looks like a football player.
What the Fonz told you when you was at the signing deal?
No, I went in Chicago. I did an autograph thing, a nationwide thing. It was unbelievable. You know, I'm at the airport. They're picking us up. They take us to the convention center to sign autographs. And I'm with the Fonz, Henry Winkler, and Sting, the wrestler. So the Fonz comes up to me, and it's like, man, that's Henry Winkler. I'm looking happy days. I'm thinking old school, man. I remember those days with Ron Howard and all that. Boy, you reflecting back, I'm like, whoa, I'm with the freaking Fonz. You know, how cool was that? Now, young people can't relate to this. And so here's the Fonz, and he just looks at me. Oh, I know I'm in the right place. They're picking us up. Because it's like a sports memorabilia thing that we're signing and all. I know I'm in the right place because you look like a football player. So he told me I look like a football player because I was a lot bigger than him. I, like, dwarfed him. And here was the Fonz, you know.
Yeah, because TV was deceiving. You think of the Fonz as being a big guy. What he is, maybe 5'5 at best?
Exactly.
At best.
Yeah. Yes, he was little. You know, he was just little. And I'm like, whoa. And then, so we ended up doing an autograph thing and boy, I think I talked about this before. You know, I felt like, well, this is pretty cool. And they had people from all over the country coming to Chicago, and they had Cal Ripken Jr. there. Whoa. They had, all the Bears players, Mike Singletary, Dan Hampton, a lot of the top Bear players in the Chicago area, Ryan Sandberg from the Cubs. And then they had, what was the show, A League of Their Own? Then I'm looking over there. Oh,
Rosie O'Donnell?
Rosie O'Donnell, Gina Davis. I go, whoa.
Oh, wow.
You know, so it was like they associated with sports and a movie and also. No, they had some different cats come from all over with all kind of stuff. They're coming up to you like, I'm signing Oakland Invader, Michigan Panther stuff. And they had stuff like, whoa, I mean, I want that. How do you get that?
No, how do you get the helmets? Because that is hard to find.
Right,
an
right.
Oakland Invaders yes. full-size helmet today.
Yeah, yeah.
It is really difficult. And if you were signing them, somebody's got them somewhere stored away, so to speak.
No, and that there's old Michigan Panther poster.
Whoa.
And it was this giant, Black Panther coming out the Pontiac Silverdome, which ain't there no more. And it was an Asian guy. And I go, where you find this? He goes, oh, I'm a big fan of the USFL. And he's telling me he got all this memorabilia. And I says, well, you know what's crazy? I actually kept that poster, and I put it up in the boys' room at the farmhouse. You know how you save, like, where's it? I says the only other person I saw that still has that poster. So, yeah, I don't know. We went over this tangent with the Fonz.
We talked about Peyton also yesterday. Braylon Moore, and he was a guy from Virginia Tech that was, man, a real interesting player because he has started 24 games at center for Virginia Tech, which tells me DJ Chester is going to be moved back to offensive guard. Man, DJ, God bless him. He struggled. He had never played center before until this year. He struggled mightily in the middle. Now you're bringing in an experienced center in Braylon Moore with 24 starts at center, and in those 24 starts throughout his career, he's only given up 22 quarterback pressures, zero sacks.
Whoa. Yeah, it all starts at the center position. You got to have stability there on the O-line. And, Mike, I want you to comment on this. Also, we were talking about Patrick Payton. He joins Florida edge rusher Jack Pyburn, Nebraska edge rusher Jamari Butler, transferring to LSU. So now they only got 1 year of eligibility, but, I mean, that's
I'll take that for a year.
That's some impactful players. And I want you to comment on this cat. Now, he's not playing with Texas anymore, but redshirt freshman, defensive tackle, Sadir Mitchell, transferring to LSU, what caught my eyes. Look, after playing in 8 games over the past 2 seasons with Texas, he had 36 snaps on defense this past year. But I said, whoa, that's a space eater right there. 6'6", 350 pounds. And he played under defensive line coach for LSU.
He was
Bo Davis.
There by Bo.
Yeah, as a freshman in 2023. And then before Davis left to become the LSU defensive line coach. Now he has 3 seasons of eligibility remaining. He was a 4-star recruit, like the number 25 defensive lineman in the nation in that class of 2023. So I'm expecting big things where he has to be confident wanting to come to LSU that maybe Bo Davis can light a fire under him. To be much more, maybe, to be impactful, be disruptive, not only occupying blockers, but actually making plays. Now, coming off the bus, that's a big son of a gun, to say the least, 6'6", 350.
Bob, he's a big man. We're going to go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. He covers the Green Bay Packers, founder of The Leap, Jason Hirschhorn. Jason, I hope I didn't mess up your last name. Thank you for joining us here on a special edition of Sports Talk.
Well, thank you for getting my name right. How are you guys doing?
Jason, man, I've been so impressed this year with the Packers. I knew offensively they had some firepower, and then you bring in Josh Jacobs. The one thing that's really jumped out, man, how well you guys have played on the defensive side of football. And every time I see him, I say, how the hell did he get out of the state of Louisiana and go to Texas A&M? And that's Edgerton Cooper. He's done a great job at the linebacker position. Has not started every game, but his impact has been huge. And we saw him last year at A&M. He was a monster player for the Aggies. And growing up here in Louisiana and watching him, and he came to a couple of camps that I was at. That's been the big surprise for me, how well that defense has played this year for Green Bay.
Yeah, the defense kind of was a project coming into the season. It was a new defensive coordinator. They brought in Jeff Hapley from Boston College. And it wasn't just a new guy calling the plays. They were moving to an even front, different alignment, a lot of different players, especially in that back seven, Edgerton Cooper being one of those. And during the middle part of the season, especially over the last month, that unit has really come into its own. It's been one of the best defenses in the NFL, both against the run and the pass. Edgerton Cooper, when he's been available, has been a part of that too. And he's kind of an interesting story because obviously they spent a high draft pick on him, took him in the second round, and they have played him a fair amount. But you mentioned it earlier. He has not started. They're kind of limiting his snaps relative to some of the other linebackers that they have. Quay Walker has been basically their de facto always on the field when healthy linebacker, and everybody else has been in a rotation. But when Edgerton Cooper has had opportunities, and when he's been healthy, you've seen those flashes. He had his best game as an NFL player this past week, and that's certainly the potential that he brings. He's oftentimes the most athletic linebacker on the field for either team. He has great instincts. Now, he's run himself out of the play sometimes because of how athletic he is, but for the most part, he has been a net positive for the unit.
You know, Jason, Coach Rizzi brought this up, the interim head coach with the Saints, is that, I don't know, when all said and done, can you win the turnover battle? I'm looking at the Saints started out hot. They're plus one right now, Green Bay's plus eight. And he said that when Coach LaFleur, when he came on board, when he took over, that the Packers are 24-1 at home when they win the turnover battle. So I don't know, win the turnover battle. That's the moral of the story. Because even, you know, I look at the Packers and where they're at, like Vikings, Lions, Eagles and all that. The Saints had a chance. Now, that was in New Orleans. Had a chance to beat the Eagles because they took away the football. We had three takeaways, but you look at the problem is New Orleans has forced just three turnovers in its last seven games after recording 13 takeaways in its first seven. So I think something as simple as that. You want the Saints have a chance to upset Green Bay, then be plus two or something. Win the turnover margin, and that could. But that's easier said than done, like I said, because on the Coach LaFleur, especially at Lambeau Field, that they win the turnover battle being 24-1.
Yeah, turnovers would be probably the most efficient way for the Saints to pull an upset here. And there was a point in this season when the Packers were turning the ball over a lot more. Jordan Love, when he was playing with that knee and later with that groin injury during roughly the first half of the year, he was turning the ball over a lot more than his norm. However, since they've come back from the bye, and especially over the last four games, he really hasn't put the ball in harm's way very often at all. He has zero interceptions during that stretch. He has zero fumbles. And really, the rest of that offense has been pretty turnover-averse as well. Josh Jacobs being maybe the lone exception. He had a fumble this past week against the Seattle Seahawks, gave them the opportunity to narrow the gap to 10 points. But even then, that was still a multi-possession lead that the Packers had. So for the most part, they're avoiding those turnovers. And even when they do happen on occasion, they tend to be in situations where the Packers already have built a sizable lead. So the challenge for the Saints is going to be monumental in this one, given all of those things are working right now in the Packers' favor.
Could hold on to where you're at. We got to go to break. We'll come back and we'll have more with Jason Hirschhorn. He is the founder of The Leap. They cover the Green Bay Packers. Bobby Hebert and I, we're live here at Rouse's Markets here at 2851 Belchase Highway in Gretna. Got a lot more sports talk. Shop and save at Rouse's this Christmas time. Welcome back to a special edition of WWL Sports Talk. Mike D'Antonio along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from Rouse's Markets, 2851 Belchase Highway in Gretna. Come shop and save at Rouse's, the official supermarket of the Saints. Get 1 pound. Pack of Louisiana peeled crawfish for $15.99 on our Oakland Hard Jewelers Talk and Text line. The founder of The Leap covering the Green Bay Packers, Jason Hirschhorn. Bob, you got a question for Jason?
Yeah, boy, you want to talk about, look, Saquon Barkley. I don't think he's getting enough love. Saquon Barkley, what the hell the Giants are doing? And he's in a division, and then look what he's done with the Eagles. But I've always been a Josh Jacobs fan. I mean, to me, the Packers hit the lottery there. Look, had 136 scrimmage yards and his 12th rushing touchdown last week. Needs just 51 scrimmage yards for a second career 1,500-yard season. He had, like, over 2,000 in 2022. To me, that's Jordan Love's best friend. And the whole scheme and what Coach LaFleur wants to do, as Josh Jacobs goes, I think the Packers have a great chance no matter who they're playing in the NFL or even the NFC. Maybe I'm going overboard about Josh Jacobs, but I think he makes that much of a difference.
He certainly does make a big difference for them, and it's not as though in past seasons the Packers lacked a quality running game. They actually had a very good one with
Aaron Jones. Good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As the lead back. I would say that the biggest difference, though, is while someone like Aaron Jones is capable of ripping off, you know, a 50-plus yard run at almost any given time, there are more limitations in terms of how much work you can give him. You know, he's a very, very good back even now, but he's still not someone who's going to regularly see 20-plus touches in a game. Josh Jacobs, on the other hand, is capable of doing that. And if you look at how the Packers have used him, especially of late, you know, this past week against the Seattle Seahawks, on that first drive, they ran 10 plays. Josh Jacobs touched the ball on 9 of those. And the one on which he didn't was an unplanned Jordan Love scramble. So as you can see, they built the entire plane out of what Josh Jacobs can do. Now, that doesn't mean that they're going to be a run-first offense in every situation. Obviously, they have a very explosive passing game, and they're going to want to lean on that as well. But a big part of that passing game, too, is the play-action attack, and that obviously works in some way with what Josh Jacobs and that ground attack can do. So Josh Jacobs has certainly changed really the way that the Packers use that running game, even if they're not using it necessarily that much more or less than they were in the past. And that feature, especially as we get down into the late regular season, into the playoffs, where whether it's at Lambeau Field or a lot of these other locations where the Packers could plausibly be, it's going to be colder. The run game is going to matter more in those situations. Josh Jacobs might be a better back for the Packers there than Aaron Jones was, which is no slight at Aaron Jones, who is one of the best Packers running backs in their history.
Now, Jason, when you look at on the defensive side of the ball, you look at the impact, and I was looking like Rashawn Gary. He had 3 sacks the last time they played the Saints. I remember that in September of 2023. I still look at that. The Saints, to me, they blew a 17-0 lead in the fourth quarter to Green Bay last September. And when you look at it, the Saints had a chance to go 3-0. And then Jordan Love, he rallied his team. He juked DeMario Davis to score in the goal line. I think how things could have turned out if DeMario doesn't get juked by Jordan Love. But and that was his debut as a starter. So you look how far Jordan Love has come and, you know, looking at the Saints. But like I was saying, Rashawn Gary last meeting had 3 sacks. I'm looking at Quay Walker, over 100 tackles this season, third straight season. He's had 100-plus tackles. Xavier McKinney, he ranks tied for first with 7 interceptions this season. So is it one guy or maybe it's a combination on the defense side of the ball that you give credit to as far as what they've done? Because unless you truly follow football, not everyone knows Rashawn Gary or Quay Walker. Maybe because fantasy, I don't know, Xavier McKinney.
That big man in the middle from UCLA.
Right. So that's when I look at all, what do you think about the impact on the defensive side?
Kenny Clark.
Yeah,
it's definitely a group effort. And they've had standout performers, and you named several of them. Rashawn Gary has really come on strong the past month or so for that Packers pass rush. Kenny Clark obviously has been a key point in the middle for the defense for a long time. Xavier McKinney might be the most important defensive addition that any team made this offseason. But you really have to look at the collective effort because they have had a lot of injuries on that side of the ball. Even this week, Quay Walker, guy you mentioned, is not going to play. He has already been ruled out. And they've missed him and other important players over the course of the season. Now, they've been able to, for the most part, get over that because of what Jeff Hafley, the defensive coordinator, and those assistant coaches have done with that scheme. You know, in the past, they had a very passive approach to most situations, and there were reasons for that, but it led to a lot of long drives for the opposing offenses, and especially late in that season against like the 49ers, for example, a lot of points on the board when you don't want that to happen. This year, they have been more strategically aggressive. You know, they will still play a lot of zone coverage, but on those third downs, especially if it's third and medium or longer, the Packers are likely to throw things like simulated pressures at the opposing offense. You know, you'll see that blitz look at the start of the play, and you know that 1-2 guys are going to drop in the coverage, but you don't know which ones those are going to be. And that has really screwed with the opposing offenses. Like, they have been able to get a lot of pressures without technically blitzing because of all that variance that they're showing to the quarterback before the snap. That has been, I think, more than any other individual contribution, the big difference for the Packers defense this year.
Now, you know, when I look at, like, Jordan Love, where he's at, okay, 23 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, quarterback rating 98.5. But, you know, you think of a running back, because I know that's not necessarily the case. You have to look total yards from scrimmage. It's not just this day and age. It's not just, okay, like a Derrick Henry. You can look at how he's utilized in the passing game. But I think no one does it better than the Packers as far as their pass receiving running backs. This blew my mind. I would guess they would be number one in the NFL. Josh Jacobs, receiving yards, 302. Jaden Reed, 727. Christian Watson, 620. I think I got that right. That right there, when you look at pass receiving running backs, and that's three-headed monster. I don't think the NFL teams has that kind of capability.
it's a very egalitarian passing game in that regard. Now, some of those guys you named are wide receivers. Like Christian Watson is a wide receiver.
Jimmy Reed, also a receiver.
But they do use him out of the backfield. You will probably see on Monday Jaden Reed at least begin plays from either next to the quarterback or behind the quarterback. That's a thing that they have featured in this offense over the past 2 years. And part of this is that no one of those wide receivers has really established himself as, you know, like a leading number one type wide out the way we think Nico Collins or Jamar Chase. The other part of it is that they have, you know, three, four guys in that receiving corps, not even counting the tight ends, who are really high quality starters already. When you have that kind of setup where there's no clear leader, but a lot of really talented contributors, there's a lot you can do as a play caller. If you're Matt LaFleur calling that offense, there are games where you're going to feature Romeo Doubs. And they obviously have done that in the recent past. There are games where you're going to feature Christian Watson. He's had, you know, multiple 100-yard games, several with multiple touchdowns. And there are times you're going to feature Jaden Reed, who started off the season as probably the hottest receiver in the NFL. So I can't tell you in any given week which one of those guys is going to be the lead receiver. But I can tell you that someone in that group is extremely likely to have a big day anytime that Packers offense takes the field.
Jason, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always appreciate it. And, man, for the Saints who are not used to playing in that type of weather conditions, it'll be interesting to see how they react to that. But even more interesting, how they react to a really talented Packer team who I think's got a legitimate shot. Now, everybody talks about Eagles, Lions, everybody
Vikings
else. But they got a legitimate shot to get to the big show and be here in New Orleans.
Well, Jason, I'm going to leave this with you as we go on a break. You know why Saints fans still have hope? Now, we was 14.5-point underdog. Now, the line opened at 13.5 on Monday morning. If you look at that, now it changed to 14.5. But even when it was at 13.5, it'd be the first time in nearly a quarter of a century that the Saints were that big of a dog. Now, you got to go back to 94 because it was 14.5 when we were playing the 49ers. But if you look at nearly a quarter of a century, the Saints were that big of a dog. The last time it happened was November 26, 2000. The Saints on the road, they outright defeated the greatest show on turf, Kurt Warner and the Rams. They won 31-24, and they were a 13.5-point underdog. So it can happen. So if you say you give the Houdat Nation, the Saints, a chance, we have a chance. Because it's happened. Now, I know it's a quarter of a century, basically.
And that's some different players on that team. Jason.
Well, no, you beat the greatest show on turf, the Rams. Come on.
Thank you, Jason. I appreciate it, buddy.
All right, take care, guys.
All right. All right.
We'll be back with more Sports Talk here. We're live from Rouse's. Shop and save at Rouse's this Christmas time.